Welcome back to the Rebirth Podcast. This is week two. I'm here with Dan Wood and another credit to our recording robot, Craig. I did not mention him last week, but got to give credit where credit is due. So thank you, Craig, for being on this podcast recording for us, even though you are a robot. So we'll get into the matchups. It was a very solid week two for you, Dan Wood. Scoring 174 points, back-to-back scoring titles, scoring it with authority this week.
I asked the football gods, and did they deliver?
We'll start with that matchup. Don was coming in, number 12 seed, ready to make a point, showing that he is not the worst team in the league, and there's one point there I thought you were going to triple his score.
I mean, to his credit, you know, 92, not the worst showing in the world. But yes, when you're you know, pretty close to doubled up, it's just never a great feeling, obviously. But, you know, what can you really do against 174 points?
Which, how confident were you feeling during that matchup? I feel like I remember us texting in the first quarter, maybe the first half, where you didn't even think you were going to win this game.
I mean, it was up, I had under 70 points until about 3:15, until about three, you know, or about two-thirds of the way through the first window. So I was not feeling good. He was hanging around, and then all of a sudden, Tua.
Yeah, I think after your text of "I'm gonna need some more points," you doubled your score in the next maybe 5 minutes.
About right. Yeah. Tua ended up throwing I think four touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So it really just sort of took off from there.
What other takeaways do you have from this matchup?
I mean, obviously. The Lions' offense is for real. I think they're leading the league in points through the first week of the season. The Sun God, Amon-Ra St. Brown, with tying an NFL record for most games in a row with at least 8 catches. So laying down the 2-touchdown, 116-yard performance this week. Their defense is still kind of suspect, so it might be shootouts, which is fine for me. But their offense is good.
And Amon-Ra, if I remember correctly, almost had a rushing touchdown. Somebody ended up catching him, but he had over a 40-yard rush in there too, didn't he?
He did. He busted off, yeah, down the sideline. He busted off like a 50-yard rush as an end around. So they're using him all over the place. I mean, he's dynamic, as they say.
Yeah, Lions offense, no joke. Mark Andrews doing Mark Andrews things. And Tua, I mean, that was insane. That was stupid. He was supposed to score 17 points. He scored 44 points.
44. Now, that's not going to happen in a week. You know,
I'm talking about dropping him in the first half of that game.
Yeah, I was. I was looking for a QB replacement because he was like 12 points. Not so much anymore. But not
what
all.
About,
not
what
all
about Don's side?
So
what about Don's side of the lineup matchup?
It's not as much sunshine and rainbows on that side. I think the first thing that needs to be talked about is what's he going to do at quarterback? Kirk Cousins, I mean, let's be real, played like shit. Did not look good, was missing throws, threw to open Eagles DBs more than his own receivers. I mean, I don't know if it was a one-week thing or what, but he did not look like a starting quarterback, at least in fantasy. And then, you know, the backup option, the high-ceiling play, Trey Lance, now out for the season. So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be time for Don to go, you know, waiver wire shopping for quarterbacks just yet. But like, can you really start Kirk with any confidence moving forward?
I'm going to say that he's got one more week with Kirk. They play the Lions, which great offense, but not so great a defense. So I'd give Kirk one more week, see how he handles the divisional matchup. And he should be able to tear apart the Lions defense.
But, I mean, if he can show against the Lions, he's got the Saints next week that looked, you know, their defense did not look very good either. You know, the Bears after that, pretty good matchup. So, you know, he's got a pretty nice schedule before the week 7 bye, but you've got to take advantage of it.
And maybe the Eagles defense is just no joke. Slay has got to be one of the best DBs in the league after what he did to Justin Jefferson, which we'll talk about when we get to maybe Hyphen's team. But any other takeaways from Don's team?
I mean, I think Aaron Jones, you mentioned, super efficient performance. I mean, he just looked good. I mean, passed the eye test. If you watch the game, he was running hard. It seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was running for first downs, just gassing the Bears defense. So, even in a split backfield, I think he'll be just fine most of the season. And then the other thing I think that I know we talked about it last week, but until we don't have to talk about it, I think you got to mention Kyle Pitts because, 2 for 3 for 19 yards is, I can't imagine that's what, the Falcons wanted from him. I can't imagine that's what Don was expecting from somebody he picked in the fourth round as the, the fourth tight end off the board. So, he's a tight end 36 on the season right now. He's got some work to do.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's just, does Mariota just not want to check down to, because he's not even throwing the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. He had 0-for-1, which I think Don's other problem is trusting the Atlanta offense, which is a hot pile of garbage. With
yeah, I mean, he shouldn't
the
be.
The exception of maybe Drake London, but.
I mean, he got, Drake London caught a touchdown, but still, as an offense on the whole, I would not be super confident. And if I've got pieces of it, I'd be concerned.
Yeah, which we won't tear apart Don anymore. We tore him a new one last week, and this week I think the scores show themselves. He's really hoping Kamara comes back, and then maybe Robinson will give a burst to his team once he...
We'll get plenty of opportunities to shit on him as the season progresses.
Yeah, Don is not going to have a good year this year. Sorry, buddy. All right, so moving on to the hyped up matchup of the week, my game versus Silliman, the 2 seed versus 3 seed, if I remember correctly, before this week.
Both putting up good numbers the first week. He had 131, you had 146 in week one. So expectations were high for both teams, honestly.
I was definitely nervous going into the Monday night game whether or not I was going to come out with a win, especially with the Bills defense doing Bills defense things. But I'll let you go with your takeaways from this matchup, and then I'll add my 2 cents for my team.
I mean, it really was a pretty good game. I mean, both teams, for the most part, lived up to the hype. Obviously, Jake not so much, but breaking triple digits is never something to be embarrassed about. When you invest so much in the Denver offense, you either live by it or you die by it. And he did indeed die by it this week. So it's yet to be seen what's going to happen with Jerry Judy's injury. But, Russell Wilson, I mean, the question has to be asked, is he bad now?
Kind of looks like it.
14 of 31.
He's new coach, new system, coach's first year. I'll still give him one or two more weeks, but he's not looking good.
Not great. Not great. I mean, he might figure it out. He's a smart dude. But it's just, under 50% completions, as many picks as touchdowns in this game. I mean, you really expect more. I mean, he's been consistently kind of like top five, top six guy in the league. So to be, pretty pedestrian, he's down on the season. He's down below, almost all your other starters in the league as far as points. So,
Russ is one of the first quarterbacks that you could not count on for rushing, but he'd give you some points on the ground, and he only had 2 carries for 3 yards.
Which is where you're going to make your, that's your bread and butter is fantasy. So, not great, but not all negatives. I did like Michael Thomas's game again. He's looking like one of the best steals of the draft, really, as far as ADP and where people were going. He caught another touchdown. He is, wide receiver 8 on the season. So if you're inside the top 10, he's above Devontae Adams. He's above Jamar Chase. People like that. If you're sitting in those kind of ranks and things, you got to be happy with that. But other than that, I mean, like we mentioned before, every season I feel like there's 1, 2, maybe 3 defenses that can really be game breakers that you hang on to through bye weeks, that will win you weeks sometimes, and looks like that might be Buffalo.
Yeah. Bills, no one will be able to add them on the list. They're not going to be dropped this season. They are league winning defense.
The Titans were the number one seed in the AFC last season, going to the playoffs, and to keep them to 7 points, I mean, Derrick Henry was a non-factor in this game. So, you know, the Bills were pulling starters before the fourth quarter even started. They are, I think, have got to be clear favorites at this point. You know, people are already, you know, buying tickets for the Super Bowl that are Bills fans. They looked, I mean, unreal in this game.
I mean, Von Miller switched teams because he thought they could win a Super Bowl, and that just shores up the defense even more. Having Von Miller,
he ain't wrong. He ain't wrong. Like I said, until something changes, they've got to be the favorite.
All right, moving on to my team.
Death, taxes, and Jalen Hurts. Continuing success from last season, looking good this year. I mean, looking like he took a step forward, really. You know, the points were there last season just because he is a rushing quarterback and he'll get you that. But, I mean, just eye test-wise, he looks like a better quarterback this year.
Just my little rant as a Vikings fan, listening to the announcers tear apart the defense and just seeing their shell defense the entire fucking night where Jalen Hurts is like, okay, I'll just throw it underneath. Like, it's fine. My receivers are going to take off and score. Jalen Hurts had anything he wanted. He only missed 5 passes, 26 for 31. That was just an embarrassing night to be a Vikings fan.
Either they're really bad or he's really good. Maybe a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both. I will say Jalen Hurts has stepped up. I think I've been hearing people talk about he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league this year, which is a long way away from his rookie season when they're like, well, this dude can run, but he cannot throw the ball. Yeah,
that was the narrative for a good chunk. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say good for him because fuck the Eagles, but he looks all right.
You can say good for him, but fuck the team.
And that's what I'll say. Because for real, though, fuck the Eagles. Anyways, moving on. How worried are you about your running back?
Running backs. Dalvin Cook, when I drafted him, if I was not a Vikings fan, I would not have taken Dalvin Cook with my 5th overall pick. And I got to pick my position in the draft. And I'll admit, I picked it solely so I could land Dalvin Cook on my team. That was me being a homer, knowing that there's a good chance that he was not going to perform, and he's not performing. The Vikings offensive line is garbage. So that is definitely nerve-wracking. James Conner, I knew, was injury-prone. I was hoping I could get a couple games before he got injured. He would have got a touchdown last week if he had stayed in the game, but he got injured and out of it, so... Anybody listening to this, if you're trying to sell running backs, I got wide receivers for you. Let's start making a deal, because right now my best running back's looking like James Robinson, who at any point could be overtaken by ETN. So I am nervous.
But like you said, you got some wide receivers to move. Cooper Kupp's looking like Cooper Kupp. Christian Kirk is justifying that contract, at least at this point. You know, he's getting yardage, got 2 touchdowns this year or this week. Even Jahan Dotson on the bench. You were talking about, you know, rookies that are waiting to make that step. We'll, you know, maybe talk about Sky Moore here, but you know, if the narrative is that rookie wide receivers need a couple weeks to get up to speed, Jahan Dotson looks like he's already there. He caught a beautiful touchdown in this game, has some really nice catches on the season already, and looks like he could be a big piece of that offense.
Yeah, I drafted Sky Moore because I was like, get a rookie on a good defense or a good offense, but I wish I would have had Dotson for the keeper for next year, because that dude's going places, even with Carson Wentz as his quarterback.
To the detriment of my Terry McLaurin, but I won't be too salty about that.
I am feeling good, running backs aside, with having 3 good wide receivers all out for the week, still having wide receivers being my best position. Well, Jalen Hurts aside, my best position. So if anybody's needing wide receivers and you want to give me a running back, I'm all ears.
You know his number.
The next matchup that we're going to talk about is Wes Carrollton versus the Lucky Ducks. Wes Carrollton likely becoming the number 2 seed in the league with the 152 score. Lucky Ducks, they're getting the triple digits, but not enough to come away against the powerhouse that is West Carrollton. So what are your thoughts on this powerhouse matchup?
I mean, like you said, obviously a really good showing from West Carrollton. A fairly balanced scoring effort. He got good points in the quarterback. Some decent showings from running backs. Obviously, Tyreek Hill is still Tyreek Hill, looking like the fastest guy in the NFL. And then really anchored by that 30-point showing from the Tampa Bay defense. Somewhat justifying the little bit of a steep price he paid in the draft on the ninth round for them. But, you know, if they're going to put up a 30-point game like this, then, you know, I guess you take that.
Yeah, that might be another defense that you hold on through bye weeks.
But I do want to ask you if you are hitting the panic button on Josh Jacobs. 70 yards and 20 carries.
I was hitting the panic button before we even drafted. I don't remember what you gave him or what we gave him as worst pick of the draft, but I do remember advocating that Josh Jacobs was the worst pick in the draft for the West Carrollton, because Josh Jacobs is just, he's never been the running back that he was supposed to be. And yeah, getting 19 carries for 69 yards. Arizona sometimes has a good defense, but I've never felt good about Josh Jacobs. You can't drop him. And looking at his bench, he kind of has to start him. So
I think West Carrollton is going to be
hurting for that RB2 spot, but I'm not a fan of Josh Jacobs. I was going to say never have been, but I've had him on teams before. This year, I did not buy into it, and it's looking like I made the right call.
So is the next question I have is, are we hitting the panic button on Adam Thielen? There's a lot of sort of question marks for that they were hidden by some, you know, big gaudy scores this week, but I'm worried about Josh Jacobs. I'm worried about Adam Thielen. You know, Travis Kelce's going to have some low games, but he's also going to put up some 30s. I'm not worried about that. But, I mean, across from Justin Jefferson, I don't know if the looks are going to be there for an aging, you know, Jim Rat of a wide receiver.
If Adam Thielen didn't get a touchdown or double-digit points this last week, I don't think he's going to do it. Darius Slay shut down Justin Jefferson. We'll talk about that. But Justin Jefferson was shut down. This was Adam Thielen's game to shine. He did finish with the most yards on the team, but 52 yards is just not acceptable. Cousins seems to be not looking for him that much anymore. I mean, he did have 7 receptions, but that was only because Jefferson was shut down. And even then, only getting 52 yards out of it. With the Vikings tight ends dropping seemingly every other ball, maybe Thielen will have another chance. But honestly, I think this is going to be the year that KJ Osborne starts overtaking Thielen as the number 2 on that team.
I mean, there's room for somebody to step up. I'll say that much.
Moving on to the Lucky Ducks, carried by Josh Allen and I guess Evan McPherson.
I mean, Josh Allen almost too good, getting pulled in the third quarter. You know, if this is a closer game, he stays in for another quarter and puts up more numbers. But I mean, the defense really to a detriment in fantasy, at least. You know, getting Case Keenum in the game there late.
Yeah, and are we hitting the panic button on the Cincinnati Bengals offense? They spend God knows how much money on an offensive line, and these are the numbers you're getting.
I mean, the offensive line was a concern. I mean, I do, and you know, I don't think this is too much of a homer thing to say. Give a lot of credit to the Cowboys defense. It's the best side of the ball for them by far. They still got a lot of good players. You know, the defensive staff there knows what they're doing, makes good adjustments. So, you know, to limit Ja'Marr Chase to 54 yards on 5 catches for that caliber receiver is a great performance by the defense. I don't think that's going to happen every week. Same with Joe Mixon, just a super inefficient 57 yards on 19 carries. So I could see them both you know, the volume is there, the efficiency will be there most weeks. So I'm not panicking just yet. I'll wait for a couple more juicy matchups for them to really see what they can get done. They got the Jets next week. They got the Dolphins after that before they get another big test going into Baltimore. So I think that if they can get some get right weeks these next couple weeks, they should be just fine.
If the Bengals offense is fine, the Lucky Ducks should be fine. Real quickly, Breece Hall coming out of the shared backfield on top this week. I'm still a little nervous about that. We'll see how it plays out. But 7 carries, 50 yards, only getting 7 carries. That's kind of worried, but he found the end zone. Good for Breece Hall. And I'm going to close out with the Lucky Ducks with Darnell Mooney. Get that dude out of your lineup. I would say drop him, but maybe you don't drop him. The Chicago Bears threw 11 times, and Darnell Mooney got 2 of them. Darnell Mooney should be getting 11 targets a game. He should be the number one wide receiver on that team. He's not. You could have scored better with DeAndre Hopkins in your lineup than Darnell Mooney, and DeAndre Hopkins is still suspended. So
he's watching TV.
Don't start Darnell Mooney until Darnell Mooney shows that he can score points.
I mean, the problem is depth, though. You know, she's got Jamar Chase, but if you sit Mooney, you're putting Lockett in the lineup, and he had a decent week this week, but are you really putting that much faith in Seattle week to week? And then you're just kind of hoping you can string some wins together before Hopkins plays again. And that's it. I mean, that is the wide receivers, you know, at her disposal. So, I mean, you want to sit him, but can you really?
And she doesn't even have a running back that she can give me. So I'd offload a wide receiver, but sorry, Suzanne, you're on your own on this one.
Oof.
The next matchup on my list here is going to be Vinegar Strokes versus Bart Harley Jarvis. First overall pick, Bart Harley Jarvis is having a hell of a season so far. What are your takes away from this matchup?
So obviously, you know, two teams that didn't have the best showings week one, Vinegar Strokes getting the win. Bart Harley Jarvis did not, but neither one super impressed, both looking for sort of a bounce back game. Vinegar Strokes got it, Bart Harley Jarvis going the wrong direction. So, I mean, obviously some you know, bigger numbers propping up the performance for Vinegar Strokes, sort of hiding some questionable results. But really not a lot of positives to take out of the performance by Bart Harley Jarvis.
This was a solid tight end showing from both teams. Bart Harley Jarvis getting the advantage with 0 points. Any takeaways from, well, Dalton Schultz is out for a bit, right? Maybe for the best for Vinegar Strokes?
So it is still a question mark. He had a knee injury. Sounds like a PCL issue. Avoided any serious damage, but he may be out a week or two. I think is the current thinking about it. So he looked pretty good in week one. He did get 7 points there, 9 targets, 7 receptions on 9 targets. So he was involved in the offense, but they're gonna have to look elsewhere at least for the next week or two.
He was hyped up as potentially the number 4 tight end this year, but injury aside, I don't see that happening. He's a bust.
On bust in week 2? Okay.
Dalton Schultz, yeah, he's a bust until Dak is back, at least. David Montgomery, I want to hear your thoughts on David Montgomery. I know you hate the Bears. You hate the Bears' offense. But I mean, he looked good.
He was clearly the bright spot of this offense. I mean, I think the Bears offense overall is not going to score a lot of points. You will notice there aren't any touchdowns in his stat line there. But anytime, you know, a running back's going to be that efficient, 122 yards on 15 carries, you know, I'll take that as an RB2. Clearly a lot more efficient than Derrick Henry was with 25 yards on 13 carries. But again, Derrick Henry getting the touchdowns, Dave Montgomery not. All that aside, you know, you're getting the clear RB1 on a team. You can't be mad at that as your RB2.
Lamar Jackson doing Lamar Jackson things. 47 points, still losing the game, but great fantasy asset to have on the team. The last thing that I want to bring up are What is the biggest concern for Bart Harley Jarvis? Does he have any chance of salvaging this season?
I mean, if he does, then, you know, Jonathan Taylor can't have weeks like he did this week. Like I said, when you get the number one overall pick, that's what you're relying on is that production, because you don't pick for a long time. So between that, you know, Zeke is looking like he did the last couple seasons, just no explosiveness, you know, getting 3 yards and falling over. You got Mike Evans suspended a game. I don't see a ton of promise on this list. Cooper had a good game. I think that's not going to happen a ton. So, you know, he did have the bench defense of the week. So there's something to tout, I guess, at -5 points, because who holds defenses in week two? But
Sam, drop your defense. Take a chance on anybody on waivers. Just not a defense.
It may be time to say goodbye to Albert O. Look otherwhere for tight ends. I mean, there's not a lot of great things to talk about. T. Higgins had a good game, so there's that.
Well, I'm hoping that he gets triple digits at least one time this season, but it might be a little while.
I don't know. I don't know who he wronged, but the fall off from last season seems to be continuing here in 2022.
Moving on to Utah Get Me 2 versus Team Billy Vegas. This is the closest matchup of the week. Both of them had quarterbacks putting up good numbers. You got both of them with a 30-point wide receiver and a 30-point running back. So basically getting carried by one position and their quarterbacks. What are your main takeaways from this matchup?
Well, one thing that really stands out to me is, I don't know if we're panic button is too strong a phrase at this point, but for where Austin Eckler was getting drafted, you know, 12 points is just not going to cut it. You know, 40 yards on 14 carries is not super efficient. So I'd be concerned that the production may not be there for him this season, but it might be made up by Jalen Waddle. We were wondering how he's going to look with Tyreek in town. Who is going to be getting targets? It looks like both of them, at least you know, in a game that goes down to the wire like the Ravens game did. But he is still a super talented wide receiver on an offense that could be scoring a lot of points.
We talked earlier about Aaron Jones having a good game. A.J. Dillon still coming away with a decent game. I think that Packers backfield is going to be frustrating. Those two guys talk about being brothers on the team, and you're never going to know which game one of them is going to go off and the other is going to take the backseat role. It all really depends on how Aaron Rodgers is feeling any given week. I think my favorite thing that happened in this matchup is Cole Kmet getting dropped immediately. He was able to drop him, just get off my roster.
Yeah, didn't even let him back on the bus after the game. That's cold.
Pack your shit, get out of here. You had great height. That was, if I didn't draft Goddard, I think I said this last week, Kmet was my target. So another bullet that I'm glad that I dodged.
Two goose eggs, and that is all she wrote.
Billy Vegas, what are your thoughts on that team? Strong showing from Chubb. Maybe should have kneeled it on the 1 yard line to save the win, but caught up in the moment, getting his third touchdown. Carson Wentz, looking great against the Lions. Again, that's why I'm hopeful for Kirk Cousins. If Carson Wentz can do this, the Lions, Cousins and Jefferson should be able to tear him apart, but we'll see how that goes out. But yeah, other thoughts on Billy Vegas?
I think his offense could be good. I think their defense is still super questionable, but you know, as long as Carson Wentz is throwing it okay. I did hear him call it a time bomb on a podcast. So there is a chance that he, you know, falls back to Carson Wentz levels, but you know, as long as he's completing around 75% of his passes, throwing for 337 yards a game, there's going to be fantasy relevance for him and the receivers. So, I mean, that's a big takeaway. I am still scared, even though CeeDee Lamb looked a little bit better this week. You know, as long as Cooper Rush is under center, there's not a lot of hype there. I will point out that Tyler Higbee had 9 targets, which is pretty good for somebody who was, you know, not really hyped too much in an offense with a lot of mouths to feed. It seemed like they were looking for him early and often. in that game. So that could be a nice bright spot for him at the tight end position.
Yeah, Stafford was force feeding Higbee the ball, and I think that was Kupp got started a little bit late, and I was getting nervous at that because Higbee was just seemed like every other throw was going to him. But that's good news for Billy Vegas. Higbee coming off with some good typical tight end numbers. I was talking last week, 7 to 10 points is what you're hoping for tight ends, because as you can see in the last couple matchups we've talked about, tight ends are either getting zero or negative numbers, or they get the nice mid-range, or they're closing out with the big. I don't think we had any tight ends with big games this week, but last week we definitely.
Put some respect on Mark Andrews' name.
That's true. Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, they both did good. They did tight end one things. But I can just cut that out, and it's like
going.
I never said it.
I knew that was going. I don't think there's anything else in that matchup, really. Davante Adams kind of laid an egg. Yeah, I didn't realize he sucked that bad. Shit. 12 yards? If he ain't got a touchdown.
Yeah, Cardinals, I was listening to somebody talk about Cardinals, for whatever their defense is, they seem to be able to take out the number one option, the Bill Belichick approach, where
textile, yeah.
Whoever the number one is there, they can shut them down, but can't do anything about anybody else.
Play the number two. Oh, I was going to... Question is that out loud, you're going to steal mine.
This is a nice close matchup between two teams fighting for the top spot in the middle of the pack. Neither of these two teams are competing for one of the top three spots, but both having pretty solid teams. And it's too early to talk about playoffs now, but these are two teams that I could see fighting for playoff spots, whereas we're talking about Bart Harley Jarvis and Don's team not competing at this point in time unless they make some drastic switches.
Agreed.
The last matchup that we're going to be talking about this week is Milkshake Teddy, maybe Hyphen. I still haven't decided if I want to refer to people by their name, by their username, by their team name. But Teddy versus Austin. Teddy, number three in the league right now, auto-drafted for the first couple, made some questionable calls, and number three in the league. Might be eating my words, but I still don't think he has a solid team. He's going to be dropping. He's going to be coming down to earth at some point. Austin's team not having a great showing, but looking through their roster, not too promising. Austin, they're bottom of the pack too. Speaking of teams not competing for the playoffs, what are your takeaways from this? I'm just shitting on both of them.
Well, I mean, and both of them deserve it to a point. I mean, obviously, maybe Hyvins had some good games. Most on the back of players they didn't even draft. You know, it's like a coach coming in with players he didn't recruit. But you know, still they're showing out. The big question mark for me as I look up and down this roster is going to be the problem at running back that's eventually going to show its head, because if you do look down at the bench of this team, you'll see no running backs. So every running back that this manager employs is playing. So injuries like the one that Damian Harris almost suffered, it sounds like he's going to be okay, but that was a scare. You know, when Robinson comes back and maybe supplants Gibson again as starting for the Commanders, you know, any of those issues, and he's going to be looking for starters because he has no bench depth there. So, you know, finding success early on in these first couple weeks, but as bye weeks roll around, as injuries crop up, that depth is really going to hurt him.
And also, two-time reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers is not looking like MVP quality this year. And I don't want to blame it on him. Seems like he's getting hurried all the time. Offensive line not really protecting him. But a 17.8 showing against the Bears is just not what you want to see from Aaron Rodgers. We'll still give these rookie wide receivers some chance to catch up and gain some trust in Rodgers. But he's not looking like the quarterback one that you're hoping for when he's almost getting doubled up by the likes of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, he's also missing some throws. I mean, most old quarterbacks are going to hit a wall at some point. I'm not saying he's hit it yet, but it could be getting there. What is there to talk about, Bowers? Seems kind of boring. They sucked.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that in. So I think we've sufficiently torn apart Milkshake Teddy. Number three in the league. It's not going to be for long. You can't ride the wide receivers that long, especially when Justin Jefferson's getting shut down by Darius Slay. Guess just said we were going to talk about him, but there's not much to say. He got shut down. Maybe not the number one overall wide receiver in the league. Definitely wide receiver one. He's going to be wide receiver one, but not the number one overall, like argued in drafts. But it is only week two, but Kirk Cousins thrown to you. I don't know. After that Philly, I'm just ranting now. I'll probably cut this, but it's so hard to be a Vikings fan right now. Come on, Jefferson. Speaking of bad performances, Austin Bauer putting up the lucky 69 points. Not doing well. Still number eight in the league, but is there anything to talk about this team? Allen Robinson getting 12 points, finally finding the end zone. Almost had a second touchdown, but called back for a medical timeout. McCaffrey finally showing up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could tell they were trying to get Allen Robinson, you know, involved early. You know, they said as much in the postgame presser last week. So, I mean, that was a positive. You know, Cam Akers finally took a share of the backfield. So, you know, Rams players with a little bit of promise. But that's about where the positivity ends with this squad.
TJ Hockenson, not the beneficiary of a strong Lions offense. DK Metcalf, what's your take on DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett? Is one of them better than the other, or is this just going to be a frustrating nightmare the entire season?
I think option C. I don't have a lot of faith in Geno Smith. Their offensive line is atrocious. You know, Tyler Lockett is a great deep ball receiver, as is DK Metcalf, really. But, you know, is Geno going to be able to stay in the pocket long enough to get the ball to him downfield? Obviously, Metcalf is a physical specimen, but, you know, without somebody able to put the ball in his hands, I don't know if you can really, you know, make a lot out of that.
Juju Smith-Schuster, are you holding on to him? Are you cutting him? What's going on with that? Is he just screwed with the Patrick Mahomes? I'm going to spread it to everybody offense.
I mean, to me, I guess that's the only thing keeping him on the roster, is that he's playing in the Chiefs offense. I don't think I'd be able to start him until he shows something. He's hard to drop at this point. I mean, we're still only 2 weeks in after all. Until he shows that he's going to be capable of putting up numbers, I don't know how you can start him.
Now that we've gone through all the matchups, do you have any overall week two takeaways, general tendencies that you're noticing through all fantasy football players?
I mean, one thing that really, you know, jumps out as you're looking at stats over the first couple weeks is the lack of running back production and touchdowns specifically. For how, you know, highly touted running backs are as point producers in fantasy, because they're touching the rock a lot, there have been only three running backs with more than one touchdown on the season. And two of them, you know, weren't highly touted at all, really. Jamal Williams and James Robinson. Nick Chubb leading the way with three. He was obviously the lone first rounder towards the top of the list, but just not a lot of end zone trips for top running backs this year.
It definitely makes me feel better about, we were talking about my team not having the strong running back, but as we went through all the matchups, there's not really any running backs that
it does.
I would say are available. Like, there's definitely some that I wish I had on my team, but they're the only one on the teams that have them. So I feel all right with what I have with what you're saying with the running back depth that's going on right now. You might have the best combination in the league with Saquon and DeAndre Swift. There it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's staying in. I mean, that's probably true, but again, it's not like they're putting up great numbers. They're just being good. But it seems like right now, good is good enough.
Moving on from our matchups, we're going to go to our next segment, which is going to be hot takes. Dan and I are both going to give probably just two hot takes for the week. I can start by looking at Dan's matchup against Torrey. I'm going to say DeAndre Swift, got his name right that time, is only going to have single-digit points this week.
I mean, there's no way that happens. He's too good. He can homer it. He can home run it on pretty much any touch he takes. So there's no way that the Minnesota Rush defense is that good.
I'm putting my faith in the Minnesota defense, even though I talked shit about them earlier. What's your first hot take, Dan?
My first hot take is also somebody I've been shitting on, but I think this could be Kyle Pitts' week to silence the doubters, at least for the moment. I think eventually they've got to force feed him and show that, you know, they invested in him for a reason. So I think this is the week he goes into double digits, gets over 100 yards receiving. I don't know if he'll find the end zone because this is not a high scoring team, but I think at least 100 yards for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, as much as everybody wants that to happen, I just don't see it happening. The Falcons' offense is just not doing well. London seems to be getting more of the targets, and I think they're going to just keep funneling it through London, and maybe Cordarrelle Patterson keeps stepping it up, but I think Kyle Pitts might be a dud for a little bit longer. Moving on to my next hot take is going to be, I say James Robinson is going to be top five running back this week. Jacksonville is going to beat the Chargers on the back of Robinson, and he's going to score at least 20 points.
Joey Bosa may have something to say about that. I think top five is rich, to put it bluntly. There's too many good running backs in this league with more volume, and I don't see him continuing to put the numbers he's been. ETN's getting better each game. He's getting, you know, more up to game speed. He didn't even play last year. There's no way that he keeps it up.
All right, Dan, what's your second hot take?
Second hot take. Derrick Henry slated for almost 21 points against the middle of the road Raiders rush defense. I think that the rushing offense woes for the Titans continue. Derrick Henry is going to get under 60 yards of rushing yards and single digits in his fantasy production.
Raiders are garbage. King Henry is coming back this week. He's going to be joining Robinson in that top five running back this week. To close things off, we're going to talk about matchup of the week. Who is the matchup of the week that you're looking forward to?
The game that I really want to see, and what I think has to be the matchup of the week, is you and Mike. Numbers 2 and 3, respectively, in points four in the league so far this year, right under me, who's winning by a mile. But really, it's kind of the battle for that number two spot to see who's legit and who can win big games. That is the premier matchup this week.
Yeah, I defend off Jake's team last week to secure my number two spot. I got another fight against West Carrollton to really solidify that number two, especially in the power rankings, because until your team calms down, no one's touching that. But it's going to be another hard-fought week. I can't wait till I get to playing Roy Jones Jr. and Bart Harley Jarvis weeks, because that is the toilet bowl game of the week. See who comes out on bottom.
Yes, the race to the bottom to really fight tooth and nail for that number 12 spot in the power rankings.
That's it for us at the Rebirth Podcast. For Dan Wood, I'm Steve Gang, and we'll talk to you next week.